Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. We continue looking, as we were talking yesterday, about Saul of Tarsus, who was a well-known Jew. He was quite gifted in the sense of his talents and abilities under the law of Moses. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the law very well, and he was persecuting the early church, not knowing that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on the road to Damascus, in order to persecute more Christians, breathing threatenings out against the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, asking for letters so that he could put men and women in jail and have them persecuted. A bright light shone. He was asked a question. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" And when the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," Saul knew exactly what he was doing. He thought he was in the right, but he was in the wrong, and he had a choice to make. He had a reputation in Judaism among his peers. He was certainly elevated among his peers, quite a man of ability. And now he's got mud on his face. Now he's got to make a decision. Is he going to please God? He thought he was pleasing God before. He didn't recognize Jesus of Nazareth being the Christ, the Messiah of prophecy, the Son of God. Oh, he knew he was in big trouble if he didn't repent. And he had the mind and the constitution of character that he wanted to be right and wanted to stay on the Lord's side. He'd been on the Lord's side once before when the law of Moses was in effect. And Jesus had not yet come and had his ministry and had his death, burial, and resurrection and then ascension. Now it's Saul's choice. You want to please God? Absolutely. He wants to know what he must do to be right with God. He knows he's wrong. He's running toward God now. There's no Jonah in this story, if you will. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." Verse 6, "So he," that is Saul, "trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?'" That's the right attitude, isn't it, for someone who wants to please God? That's the attitude I need to have every day. How about you? Can we try to have that attitude every day? Just waking up and saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" If we need to go to work, we need to go to work. If we need to try to improve our marriage, we need to try to improve our marriage. If we need to take better care of the children and pay more attention to what they're doing instead of leaving them alone in their rooms with the door shut with these smart devices that are on the internet that we don't know what's going on because we're not taking enough interest, we need to learn to please God. The Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." There was something or some things that Saul was going to have to do in order to please God. So Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now who's going to come help him? Verse 10 says, "There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here am I, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So now Ananias has a choice. He's afraid. He's got a right to be afraid. He's even willing to tell the Lord, his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I've heard about this guy. I'm a little concerned here. Jesus settles the matter, and Ananias goes. Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you come, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Now, some false teachers and people that misunderstand the scriptures say, oh, wait a minute now. He came right in and called him Brother Saul. He was saved on the road to Damascus. He was saved on the road to Damascus. Think about it now. Think about what Jesus said was going to happen. Oh, he was called Brother Saul, all right, because Saul was a Jew, and so was Ananias, and they called each other brethren in that sense of being of the same nationality. Oh, Mark, you're just looking for a quibble there. Oh, no. Think about it now. God, Jesus, has told Ananias that you're going to go and you're going to teach Saul. Oh, yeah, you're going to lay your hands on him. He's going to get his sight back. And he's a chosen vessel. But he had told, that is, Jesus had told Saul on the road, that you're going to go into the city, and there it will be told you what you must do. Let's read on and be fair with the scriptures. So when he had received food, verse 19, Saul, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem, and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? They could have thought he was a lunatic for all we know. He's done a 180. He was out persecuting those who were followers of Jesus because Saul thought they were following a false Christ. And now he's preaching that Jesus is the true Christ, the Son of the living God. In the synagogues, where his reputation was known, seems like he's more about pleasing God than worrying about his reputation from before, or losing sight in his peers' eyes, or what will people think? Will I lose my status in the Jewish community? He doesn't seem to be thinking about anything but pleasing God and going straight into an area where people were opposed to Christ, at least thinking that Jesus of Nazareth was not the Christ, and were still practicing the old law of Moses. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, verse 26, he tried to join the disciples, meaning the Christians that were there, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Now, Barnabas had a choice to please God. We need to take note of this particular occasion. There's something from the Old Testament that I would like to share with you that I think is applicable here. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, in verse 27, we have a truth. The English Standard Version says, Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. The New American Standard Bible, same citation, Proverbs 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. New King James. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. The New Living Translation, which is a loose paraphrase, says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. More like a commentary than a word-for-word translation, because it doesn't purport to be a word-for-word translation, but more of a running commentary from a translation committee on verses. Sometimes very helpful, using words as they do. And on this occasion, I think so. What would you do if you were in a congregation in the early days of the church, knowing about this gentleman Saul, and you're in Jerusalem, and he's round Damascus, and you're kind of glad to hear it because he's not in Jerusalem, and that's where you are, and he's persecuting Christians right and left. Now all of a sudden he shows up at a service of the congregation, and you're looking over, and that's the guy that's been really, really wreaking havoc with the children of God. And he says he wants to be a member of that local church in Jerusalem where you're a member. Oh boy, we going to let this person be a member of our local church? That's a decision. Placing church membership in a local congregation is something that the New Testament requires. Paul was doing what he was supposed to do. Barnabas steps in, very much in harmony with the principles of the proverb in Proverbs 3 and verse 27. Oddly enough, it's verse 27 that we're going to now in Acts 9. But Barnabas took him, that is Paul, and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Let's look over to Acts 22. Let's look to a recount by Paul of his conversion. Very interesting when we find out that people throughout the New Testament became Christians the same way. While it is true that Ananias called Saul Brother Saul, it is also true that when Paul, by inspiration, gives his account of his conversion, in Acts 22 he mentions, and a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. And then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul still had his sins on his account, and until we are baptized scripturally with the baptism of the Great Commission, not the baptism of John, not some other baptism, but the baptism of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we don't become members of the body of Christ. Tune in tomorrow when we talk more about the conversion of Saul and the choices he made in pleasing God. Thank you for listening, and have a pleasant good day.